This morning's lesson is simply on godly freedom. If you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 50, verse 23, that's our theme verse. One of the things that I feel pretty strong, heavy on my heart, and I was told the class this morning, it's one thing to have a conviction or a preference or a strong feeling within you that you think this is right. Another thing to have scripture that you can quote and back it up, and that you're building on scripture, not just on a man's opinion. And so I'd like, as I share some of these messages, that you listen carefully. I'll be speaking to young people, and I'll speak to young people here again this morning. I want the message to come through clear. So if you hear something that's not clear, I do want to learn from you. Psalm 50, verse 23 is my theme verse. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation or his walk of life aright will I show the salvation of God. So when we think of God's divine order, we think of freedom under God's authority, God has a divine plan for each one of us. And God has given us a mind to think, and he's given us, hopefully, a desire to study. So we study the Word of God and determine whether or not we are in God's divine order or not. And I hope in today's lesson is, some of you may think, well, that's for the street. But we're here, we're Christians here, we're godly people. Why are we hearing this kind of message here? One of the things that, again, has been a burden on my heart a lot, and that is this. It's important for us to understand God's order, and we need to find that order. There's three things I want you to remember. We need to find that order, stay in that order, and then help others find that order. So you think about that. It's important for us to find God's divine order for my life, for our life, and then learn how to stay there. And then after we're there, it's help others find God's divine order. And part of today's lesson is to help us as Christians to better know how to help others find that order. If we really think that freedom is important, and that freedom is worth striving for, then we will help others find freedom, hopefully. So may that be a burden on your heart when I get through today, that you will just have a better desire and a better heart of compassion to help others find God's order. Are we able to help others? Genesis 2:17, you turn back to that. We're going to start. And again, this after today's lesson, I got seven lessons, and today's lesson number two. Last message I preached talked about God and who he was, the Word of God, the authenticity of the Word of God, and it gave us a foundation to build on. So we're building on Scripture, we're building on God, and today's lesson is we're wanting to learn what God says about life. Okay, in Genesis 2, verse 17, we have here God gives a death penalty. I don't know if you ever thought about it in that way, but it's a death penalty. Genesis 2, verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that was God, coming from God himself. God told Adam, there wasn't a lot of other people around, Adam was by himself. Well, Eve may have been with him, but it said later on he created Eve, but we'll let you think about that one a little bit. But God told Adam, if you eat of that tree, you are going to die. And that's a death penalty. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Let's go to Ezekiel now. Ezekiel 18. I'd like for you to become aware of where these scriptures are found and as it helps you when you're witnessing to your neighbor. Exodus 18, verse 4. It says, "Behold, all souls are mine." Now, we talked about, I think last time a little bit, we talked a little bit about how that we're made of a body, soul, and spirit. And so the soul, it lives forever. And God says, every person's soul is mine, okay? That means he's in charge of that soul, or he's responsible for that soul, and he can do with that soul what he wishes to do, okay? Every soul is mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Again, a reconfirmation that the soul that sins, it will die. Verse 20 of this chapter. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And the reason I'm bringing out that verse, because there's a lot of people would feel like that if Dad was an evil person and I'm his son, then I'm evil also. Or because Dad did this, I can do this. Here he's just simply saying that the Father sins, that sin is on him. He's responsible for that sin. If the son sins, or the daughter, that sin is upon him. Each one is responsible for his own sin. Even though we all well know that the father's sin can affect the son. It can influence him in the wrong direction. It can harden his heart. And there are boys and girls who have rebelled and rejected because of father not living right and gone their own way. And they say, Dad, he did it, I can do it too. Each soul is responsible for what goes on in his life. Let's go to Proverbs 19, verse 2 yet. One more, and then we'll move on about the death penalty. Proverbs 19, verse 2. To me, this truth here that I'm bringing out here puts within me a stronger and a more of an urgency to share with people about godly freedom. If we know this person is going to die and go to hell, then it should put within us, what can I do? How can I help this person where he doesn't go to hell? Proverbs 19, 2. And that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. For he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. So here, someone who has a death penalty on them, a lot of times it's because the soul doesn't know the way to divine freedom. And that's where we as Christians, and may we just grab that and ask God to give us a vision and a heart for that, is how can we give that soul knowledge so that he too can find freedom? Please grasp that and ask God to help you with that. Or if you again, so the heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? So we need to realize that as a child grows up, they have within them a sinful nature, and that heart desires disobedience, rebellion, and it you don't have to see a child very long at all before you can see that's within a child. So I'm going to use the overhead a little bit this morning to help us understand more about of all, you could read this or not. This artist was very creative. Can't quite get it all on, but I guess we'll have to. You can get most of it. Now it's interesting. This artist's name was, I got it here. Was a real man, a real father. His name was Benard Pop. He lived in Kentucky. And he found the Lord, him and his family found the Lord, and he moved his family to Yanceyville, North Carolina, and was part of the church there. And they didn't read Acts 15 properly, but this church had a split, had dissension, they didn't agree, so the church split. And when this family, who were young in the faith, were trying to find God and trying to live for God, this family became disillusioned. They said, well, we were in a godly church, a biblical church, and the children had got baptized, and things were going well for them. And because the church split, the youth became dissatisfied, a mom came dissatisfied, the children left the church, the wife divorced him, and he went to counseling. And during counseling is when Bennard drew these pictures. He was head on with sin and just the old man. He's trying to draw a picture here. So on this picture here, we can start at the top, and some of you think, well, that's way overdone. There's nobody that bad. And I think sometimes because an individual can have a smile on their face and it can look like they're having fun, that we don't really, really see their heart. And see, as Christians, we are not blind. We have a spiritual eyesight that non-Christians don't have. And we're going to talk about blindness today a little bit. Because a person who is blind cannot see what's actually happening to our neighbor or even to ourselves sometimes. And so it's important as Christians that we have eyes that are open, that can see. So just a few comments on this picture here, old man self. You notice the buzzards flying around because here's a man without much life. He's barely dragging along. The buzzards are just waiting for him to die. Now, I raise cows, and our mama cows have a baby calf. The buzzards just crowd around there. They're just waiting to get a chance to kill that baby. And I often take my four-wheeler out and chase them off. I noticed it the other day when the cow had a calf. The buzzard was sitting on the fence waiting for just a chance to kill that baby calf. And the cow went over to the fence and chased him away. Because buzzards are just waiting for someone to die, waiting to devour them. That's the picture you see here. And that's what's happening here, this man here. And there's a couple things about this I want to bring out. Self-abuse, abuse of others, guilt, doubts, damaged emotions, pain-killing devices, compulsions like drinking and smoking. Neighbors last night, they were saying how that in New Jersey that marijuana is legal now, and they go into the grocery stores, you can smell marijuana in their breath. You can actually drive down the road with windows open. Sometimes you can smell marijuana in the air. Now, I won't be able to recognize it, but they do. They recognize the smell of marijuana. In fact, one of the doctors that were in the hospital was a very intelligent doctor that was operating, and he actually, there were several of his patients died. And the result was because he was hooked on marijuana. He was hooked on drugs. And sometimes he'd come in and operate, and he would be so intoxicated that he left the patient and went home and turned his phone off, and the patient died. One young man died. So there, it just that's what drugs and stuff does. It intoxicates an individual. We have here works. We have self-righteousness. We have bitterness, resentment. All these things. The thing I want you to think about on this picture here is that sin is like cancer. Sin is like 11 in a loaf of bread. You know, sometimes it may start up with just a tiny, small piece of sin in our heart. But that thing, it doesn't stay there. Sin grows, and it starts affecting other areas. And the next thing you know, something else comes up, and this man, I'm sure he didn't take on all these bundles here at one time. It was through a life of deception. One of the things that I want you to really, really think about, and we're going to talk about a lot today, there is a band around his forehead blocking his eyesight, where this man can't see. And he has a stick in his hand that says, I can do it myself. I can do it. I can do it. I'm going to make it. I can do it. And of course, he has a little kitty following along behind with self-pity. He's feeling sorry for himself because he realizes life is hard, it's tough, I just can't hardly go anymore, but I'm going to make it. I can do it. What is that? That's pride. So this man is determined. And one thing I want you to notice here, and we're going to talk about that more today, is our signs along the road. The sign says here, it says, come to the end of yourself before it's too late. Did that sign do him any good? No. He was blind. He couldn't even see the sign. Back here it says, be sure to stop and visit. The cross of Christ is just one more mile. Did Sir Self see that sign? No. He just kept, I can do it. I can do it on his own. So we're going to today, I'd like for us to think about, as a Christian now, that we have given up ourselves, how can we help Sir Self find freedom in Christ Jesus? There's a bag of old tricks, one of the things that makes this even more real, like I said, I mentioned, I think, last Sunday about this young 29-year-old boy that we met at the Canton Akron Airport, and my wife and I were sitting there, we were smiling at each other, and we're just enjoying time alone together, and he was looking, he was watching us, and he said, you know, I wish so bad I would have what you have. I said, oh, okay. And so we got to talking. And I assured him that Jesus Christ would love to give him what we have. Jesus Christ can change his life. And so he started sharing with me about these burdens that he was carrying. And two of the things that really, really was bothering him is he was in the military over in Kuwait. And he was actually with the Marines. And he shot a little boy, and he watched him die. And he said another time that the Marine Corps went to a village and bombed the village. We killed everybody in the village. And he said, God will never forgive me. He said, God, I just feel so guilty. I just feel so condemned. And he was just, he actually started crying. He said, I just keep thinking about this little boy that I killed and this village that we destroyed, and it's too awful, it's too sinful. And so I tried to go back to scriptures and explain to him that God loves his soul, and God can heal that, and God can forgive you for those things. I said, you still have memories and you still have regrets and you're still reaping, but God can forgive you from that. I said, there's nothing that God can't forgive. So the thing around his eyes is deception. And that's where a lot of people feel like God can't help their need. God can't deliver them. So they continue on in sin. Let's not spend more time here. Let's move on to the next one that's a lot better. And that one is this. This man heeded advice, and he went to the cross, and he unloaded every burden at the cross. You see all the different baggage that he had on his back. He unloaded everything there at the cross. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. All my past sins, the truth will set you free. This man, and just like this young man at the airport, he was just desperate. He said, I've got to have help. I need help. And I said, well, you need a higher power in your life. And so with prayer and talking to him and sharing with him, I tried to help him understand there is a higher power. And you can overcome. And you can get rid of all these things. And one of the things that we had a chance to visit to Harold Dean the other night, Saturday night, and one thing he stressed a lot is that, is your all on the altar? And we're going to talk about that in a later subject on personal freedom. Have we laid everything at the cross? And there's times that we lay the big stuff and the heavy stuff at the cross, but we still have areas in our heart and life that we reserve because we personally enjoy them a little bit, and we kind of like having them there. But we're going to talk about that later on. But right now we're talking about personal freedom under God's authority. Here we have a man who has accepted the truth, and he has come to the cross, laid him there, and now he's a new man. He's saved. I was looking a little bit at suicide, and sometimes we think, well, is it really that bad? Are people that desperate? But it sounds like the white male in our society is most prevalent for suicide, more than the women are. And there is still, even though suicide rates have not necessarily gone up, they've kind of leveled out, and even the younger generation has actually come down a little bit. That's encouraging. Maybe there's people that are being faithful and witnessing and spreading the good news about God. But what would make a person, and that this is what this individual, he was at the point, he was going to New Jersey for counseling, and he was at the point of just simply, he said, I have thoughts of suicide. I'm just desperate. And that's what he was doing, is drinking to get rid of the guilt and the shame he was experiencing. He was drinking and trying to, so when he drank, he didn't think about that guilt. But whenever he gets sober again, he'd think about him again, and he would go back to drinking again. And when you do that enough, your ability to love life and stay alive, it just goes down, 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 to a point where many people jump off bridges. They tie a rope around their neck and kill themselves. They just said that life is too miserable. Can you imagine? I hope you're excited about this idea this morning. That can you imagine being someone who finds an individual like that, and your spiritual eyes are open, and you help that individual find victory, find forgiveness, and find revitalization, where they find Jesus, and you help that individual walk that path back to life again and to what's right. It's so important that we are faithful in helping people find godly freedom. Ray Comfort says, take him to the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie? We'll keep moving. Sin and habits grow and harden your heart. That's what Richie brought that out. How that sin and habits will harden people's hearts. And as they get older, the longer you live in sin and bad habits, your heart gets harder and harder. And so it's more difficult to bring someone like that back to God or to God. I got another little illustration this morning that I would like to help us understand this. I'm going to ask Braden and Luke, do you mind coming up here, please? Why don't you come over here? I don't want you to trip on this cord over here. Okay, we're going to talk about, let's turn this thing off here, it's binding my eyes. We're talking about, as Christians, how we need to help the non-Christian. Now, please don't be offended this morning if one of you plays the role of a Christian, the other plays the role of a non-Christian. Could I have Andrew, could you get two empty baskets back there ready? I'm going to ask, I won't ask for volunteers because that might think that you might be heading that direction, but I'm just going to, you're the closest, Braden. I'm going to blindfold you, okay? You already got some scratches on your face, so you've already been in a mess already. Can you see, Braden?
Yeah.
You can?
Somewhat.
Not real good, though, right?
No.
Okay. All right, Luke, the Bible says for you to love your neighbor. Do you love your neighbor? Do you really care about his soul? What about his safety? Okay. All right, I'm going to ask both of you. Now, I want you to think about Luke. Now, you're a Christian, and you love your neighbor, okay? If you love your neighbor, you're going to do what a Christian would do. Okay? I'm going to ask both of you to go back to the back, get a basket, bring it to me. Now, do you remember your responsibility now? Okay, thank you. Well, Luke, you did very good. You cared about your neighbor. Did you see a lot of things along the way, Braden?
No.
Was it kind of boring?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. All right, Luke, you can go back. We have some things to take care of with Braden here. All right, I'm going to take this thing off so you can at least see. The message I want you to get here, I hope you don't mind me using your real name. When Braden gets tired of fumbling around, stumbling around, guess who Braden's going to go to find help? Luke. Why? Now, Luke and Braden, if we think about it in that sense, are not necessarily going the same direction. But Luke has took time and showed Braden that he loves him, he cares about his safety, and helped him find some things, get some things done in life. But in that, Luke is building a relationship with Braden so that when Braden gets to the end of himself, that he will, you know, he said, Luke loves me. He really showed me he loves me. I'm going to just ask him, why does he love me? What's different about Luke than me? And so he started asking questions. And then hopefully Luke can help Braden see that it's God. Freedom under God's authority. It just that he has something that I don't have. And that's what this young man, a 29-year-old man, he pleadingly looked in our eyes and said, I want what you have. All right, so we're going to do another illustration by means to have you up here about sin. Now, some of you have seen this chain before. I need some help from the girls. In the garden, there were two trees. What were the names of those two trees? There's two trees that there were more than two trees in the garden, but God talked about two trees. I can't hear you. What were the names of the two trees in the garden? In the Garden of Eden, God said you shouldn't eat of one, but you can eat of the other. What were the two trees? Tree of good and evil. So if you'll let me, I'm going to name this tree here. Just wait, Braden. You're getting tied up here pretty soon. I don't know if Julian was aware of this or not, but we're going to call these trees. This is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We'll put that up here. We'll name that tree the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What was the other tree? Tree of life. We'll name this here the tree of life. Okay. Braden, have you ever told a lie? Do you think lying is sin?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you lied, the Bible says, "He that soweth sinneth, it shall die." Okay? So I'm going to need to tie this around your leg here. I don't have the key. I'm sorry. Honestly, I don't have the key. So, Braden has told a lie. He sinned. So, Braden is in bondage. Braden, can you free yourself?
Not from the chain.
Not from the chain, okay. You might get rid of the tree, but not... Okay. So, we have an individual here who is in bondage. Now, if I give you a plate of food, you could probably eat it, couldn't you? You could sing a song for us. You could sit down and relax if you want to. But there's a certain amount of freedom that Braden has. Braden, can you eat off the tree of life here? If you eat off this tree of life, you'll live forever. No fruit? We have to imagine. But his chain won't allow him to reach that far. Now, he could drag the tree over there, but real tree you couldn't drag. So Braden is restricted from eating the tree of life because he is in bondage to sin, to knowledge of good and evil here. So I'd like for us to, and I, again, sometimes, even for me, when I see my neighbor, I don't picture him tied to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't, often, sometimes I don't even realize that he might be in bondage. And that's where spiritual blindness can hinder us from actually seeing truth as it is. So we need to get Braden free from bondage. But I don't have the key. Let's go to Revelation. Let's see if there's help for you. There's help in the Bible. Don't worry. Revelation 9 verse 1 says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star," this is Satan now, "fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Now, don't you think this morning that Satan has so much power that he grabbed that key and went down to hell with it? God gave Satan the key to hell. God said that a soul sinneth, it will die. And Satan was going to die in the bottomless pit. So people that sin are going to go with Satan. And so we have here in the Old Testament, people that sinned, in a sense, Satan had the key to their destiny. This is an important point. It's a doctrinal point that I want you to remember. Satan had a key to everyone's destiny because God said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Everybody in the Old Testament sinned. We had some good people in the Old Testament, but they all sinned. They all were destined. They all had the death penalty on them. And so let's go back to Revelation 1, 18. And I want you to, again, we're getting close to communion again. I want you to think about that as you think about this now. I want you to think about Jesus. Jesus went to the cross and he bore the sins. Braden, he bore your sin on the cross. Mine too. A lot more than you have. Jesus bore the sin on the cross. And when Jesus died, it says that Jesus went to hell, to where Satan was, not in the lake of fire. That's Gehenna. He went to the place where Satan was, and he went to there and got the key. Verse 18, "I am he that liveth," this is Jesus Christ now, "and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of death." Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave him the authority and the privilege, and God sent Jesus to get the keys from Satan. Now, I asked Mervin to do something for me this morning that he doesn't really like to do, but Mervin, could I have the keys? Here are the keys. Jesus, I'm not Jesus now, but he went to Satan and got the keys of death. So we're going to unlock you, Braden. I know you're tired of standing up here. Because of Jesus died on the cross, you can go back to your seat now. We can take our sins to the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ, only his blood, can forgive us of those sins. And when God, Christ forgives us those sins, we're free from that guilt, we're free from that bondage, we're free from that condemnation. We no longer have the death penalty on our life anymore. I hope you're here this morning and you don't have a death penalty on your life. The death penalty has been taken care of because Jesus, you've accepted, and that was what I was trying to explain to this young man at the airport. I said, the blood of Jesus, that no matter how awful sin that you've done, even if you killed somebody, that blood of Jesus will take that sin away and that condemnation away. You can be free from that guilt. And we prayed the sinner's prayer together. Let's go to another illustration here. And this is one that emphasizes the one earlier about And the reason, again, I'm showing these things to help our spiritual eyes to be opened and realize that there's a work to do. When I hear of a Christian says, you know, I'm kind of bored. There's really nothing to do. I think, well, you must be blind. Your eyes aren't open. You're not reading the Scriptures. Because if you read the Scriptures, you will see needs all around you, and you will be trying to help meet those needs as a Christian. You'll be like Luke was with Braden. You will be trying to build relationships, and you will try to find people who need help. Here we have an individual. Could be a boy, could be a girl. He's trampled over the Bible. He's trampled over his parental advice. He tramples over his biblical authority. And he's got this flute in his hand, and his eyes are blindfolded. And he is blowing his flute and just having a jolly good old time because he's doing what he wants to do or she wants to do. And there, even though the sign says wrong way, he can't see the sign because his eyes are blinded. And that's the difficult thing about witnessing and sharing the gospel. We're talking to blind people. People who can't see the truth, who can't see the end. They don't see the cliff here. So who is going to see the cliff? It's you as a Christian. We read the Word of God. We realize there is a destiny. There is an end. There is a consequences to sin. And so we see that and we warn and we walk alongside. And we try to encourage and we say, you know, look, son or daughter, there's a cliff here. You can't keep going. You're going to end up falling off that cliff. We can't save them all. But what are we doing? Are we urgent and we desperate? Are we praying and we wanting to help people see, be their eyes for them? Isaiah 42, verse 6 through 8. Isaiah 42. I love these verses. Now, Jesus said, this is what he's come to do. But Jesus went to hell, got the keys. So Jesus has the key to forgive, to get rid of the death penalty. And Jesus went to heaven, but when he went to heaven, he told his disciples, go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel, teaching people in the name of Jesus and bringing them to God. This was Jesus' heart here, verse 6 through 8. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Brothers and sisters, there's many, many people who are sitting in darkness. They can't see the light. They can't see the gospel. They can't see the cross. Who will show them the cross? Who will show them that Jesus loves them? Who will show them that Jesus loves them? It's our duty. It's our responsibility to show them. A rebel is blind, enjoying the present, ignoring the future. Jesus came to open up the eyes of the blind. To me, that's just so exciting to think, because I've experienced that for many, many years now, where I can see the light, and I'm walking in freedom. And yet, I don't want to just bask in that just all for myself. God says, Paul, there's others. There's others. It may be within the church group right here. It may be our neighbors. Now, again, I often don't look at my neighbors as a heavy chain around their legs. Thank you, Braden, for being that, helping me out this morning. And Luke, too, thank you for that. I'll show you one more over here, then I see that my time is going to be running out here. How can an individual I borrowed this from Harold Dean. He had to show this the other night, and I brought it from him because we thought it was so important. By the way, Harold Dean was my teacher in Bible school 45 years ago. He was my teacher and taught chorus, and he also taught classes. I loved his classes, and Brother Harold is still faithfully teaching. To discern rightly, you must. And I want to bring this out because it's important for us as Christians. We must be born again. We must be unloosed from the chains of guilt. Truly born again. Truly sorry for your sins. Truly, and I wrote three things down here that I think is important for a person who is born again. He must experience forgiveness. He must experience restitution. When Zacchaeus saw Jesus and Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house today, and he came to his house, and Jesus and Zacchaeus repented. Zacchaeus made restitution. To me, that is an evidence. It's a fruit of true being born again. So I say, well, I'm born again. I'd like to ask a question. In order for you to see, you must have something within you. What is it? How do we know when someone's born again or not born again? What's the key that you have to have within you? It's number three. You must have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're blind. You cannot see properly. We must have the Holy Spirit within us. When we accept Christ as our Savior and accept His forgiveness, cleanse our heart, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and the Holy Spirit helps us to see. If you'll read in John, John said the Holy Spirit teaches us, it shows us, it helps understand the Word. The Holy Spirit is the light of our eyes. It helps us to see. So a Christian must have the Holy Spirit. So how do you discern if someone is born again? They must have the Holy Spirit in their lives. And the Holy Spirit, there must be evidence that He's there. You say, well, I have the Holy Spirit, but you don't see any evidence, then He must not be there. There must be evidence that He's there. He must be born again. Believe in the authority of the Scripture. One of the things that we talk about prison, we talk about change, and our next personal freedom, we'll talk about that. That's lesson six, I think it is. How do we know if we're in bondage or not? I'm going to share this here. I may get in trouble for this, but if you are not willing to put yourself under the authority, under God's authority, you're in bondage. If you're not willing to humble yourself and put yourself under God's authority, man, God's appointed man, you are in bondage. So you think about that one a little bit. You must believe in the authority of the Scripture. Number three, you must have a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. That means daily you're talking to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's talking to you, you're reading the Word of God, you're asking God to teach you through the Word, and you have this relationship. If you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're dying. You're heading toward bondage. You're heading for default. And maybe that's why you don't see your neighbor as someone with a chain on it. Maybe he's just a nice man or a nice woman. If you go to on-site, it's not the poor desolate that are there. There's a lot of rich, rich people there at on-site. Why? They're in bondage. They don't know what freedom is. They don't know what victory is. And they're searching, they're wanting counseling to help find that. And today we have the answer. We have Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Let's, as Christians, remember our eyes need to be opened, because Jesus said, I came to open up the eyes of the blind. Our eyes are open, and God gives us a spiritual vision, and we see souls and people like they really are. Now, Luke wouldn't have had to help Braden down to do that basket and back again. He could have ran back there and got himself and been back here in a short time. But he slowed down and walked with him. And that's what we as Christians need to do. Slow down. Take time. And realize that speed getting back there and back is not the most important thing. It's this man's soul. Not done with that yet. It's this man's soul. 4, believe in biblical separation. The Christian is someone who doesn't live like the world, doesn't follow the world, doesn't let the world judge him. It believes in that, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Christians are a separate people. They're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Are you glad that you're that? 5 is have victory over pride. Pride is the number one killer of all these. When we just think that we can do it ourselves, we don't need God, we don't need help from anybody else, I can do it myself. I just think of the Acts. I'm so glad that we had this Acts lesson today. What if there would have been pride there in Acts 15? And Paul and Barnabas said, you know, y'all just get away here. Just leave us alone. We got things going here. You just leave us alone. We know how to live the Christian life. Peter, he showed us the Gentile. There'd been pride there, dissension. What if there would have been a church split in Acts 15? The Jews went one way, then possibly the other direction. What would happen? This morning, are we humble before God? Are we allowing God to direct our lives? Is pride been crucified? And that's something that is not a one-time deal. That's something we need to do constantly. If you struggle, and I love what Richie said, if a comment stings or if something from the Scripture stings, must be there's a touch of pride there. And God can't, it's hard for God to lead a proud person. One master seeks to destroy you. The other master wants to make you whole. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus desires to make us whole. Here we have the tree of life, and we can eat of that tree of life. There's fruit there. There's power there. There's blessings there. There's tremendous at the fruit. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And my last challenge with you before we have prayer is, are you going to be a Luke? Are you going to walk alongside? And are you going to be showing the blind individual that there is a God, there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is victory? And walk alongside. Let's pray.